This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning and welcome to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. I'm Kendra Petroni, and today we're talking with actress Holly Robinson-Pete. Her career as an actress spans more than three decades and has led her to becoming a voice for her father, her son, and her community. First inspired by her father's battle with Parkinson's disease, and then by their eldest son's autism diagnosis, Holly and her husband, former NFL quarterback Rodney Pete, created the Holly Rod Foundation to provide support and resources to families in need. Holly has starred on the groundbreaking series 21 Jump Street, and then for all of us TGIF 90s kids, she went on to star in Hanging with Mr. Cooper, For Your Love, Chicago Fire, and Mike and Molly. She's currently starring in the next mystery installment, Morning Show Mysteries, Murder Ever After. It's premiering on Sunday, May 23rd at 8 o'clock on the Hallmark Movies and Mysteries channel. I had the incredible pleasure of talking with Holly a few years ago, and I'm so honored to have her back on Exceptional Women here in Boston. Hi, Holly. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Well, I'm so excited to have you back on our show. I know I talked with you a few years ago right here on Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7, and it's such a pleasure to have you back. Good morning, Holly. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you for having me back on your great series.
Well, first, we need to start with the fact that, you know, this past year has been absolutely insane and unimaginable for so many families. So how has the past year been for you and for your family? How are you all doing with everything?
Well, thank you for asking. It's been insane and crazy and highs and lows. And in the beginning, it was kind of like, oh, family time. We get to huddle up and play board games and, you know, get to know each other again. And then that was kind of, and then we ate our way through, you know, March, April, and May. I baked more cakes than I've ever baked in my entire life.
Yep.
And so in the beginning, it was kind of whimsical. And it would just kind of, you know, was difficult. My husband lost a couple of cousins and to COVID-19. So that was really hard. And just, you know, the year is just so tough in so many ways. My son, who was working for the Los Angeles Dodgers, wasn't in the bubble, so he couldn't work. And this is my son with autism who needs that work and really just needs that daily routine. And so his mental health I was worried about. So just sort of had highs and real lows. And then, you know, fast forward to the year that he was out of the Dodgers, they won the World Series. So that was amazing, but he wasn't there. And then yesterday, the Dodgers players gave him a World Series ring. So that was an unbelievable moment and a real testament to possibilities for life, because RJ was told he wouldn't do so many things. And one of them was he wouldn't have meaningful employment. And boy, does his job mean something. So it was a really crazy year, just like for everybody.
It's funny. I was watching that video of your son on the field at Dodger Stadium, and you know, you were talking. I was watching you talk about how proud you were, and how you'd mentioned that, you know, in the beginning when he was, you know, first diagnosed, you know, you never know. They tell you, we don't know if your child will be able to speak. We don't know if they'll be able to function or get a job or be self-sufficient. And I wanted to share with you, I was actually so excited to talk with you this morning, to share with you that my youngest son, Noah, who just turned 7 2 months ago, and I have two sons, both on the spectrum, 7 and 8 years old. And my youngest son, Noah, finally got potty trained, and we've been buying diapers for 11 years. My husband and I were like, oh my God, is it ever, will we ever get there? You know, and it's horrible to think that way, but you never know. And I totally felt that way. And I was so proud to share that with you that, you know, amid all of the craziness that has gone on this last year, it was like a silver lining for our family to have that accomplishment. And I, so watching the video of your son and him waving to you on the field, I was like, my eyes filled up and I had my husband watch it too. And it was like, it's so personal for us, you know, because we get it, you know, and it's such an amazing, incredible feeling.
It makes me so emotional because I remember those very particular wins, mm-hmm. you know, those real specific wins that we would celebrate, you know, RJ, you know, communicating with his sister or yes, the potty training or, mm-hmm. you know, just having a really good day and not having a bad day. Like, so, and you really kind of have to, in some ways, you know, have a child on the spectrum to understand these things right. and how important these milestones are. So congratulations. And I'm so glad that happened for you because I know how difficult that can be. And what I wanted to do by, you know, sort of putting RJ on blast, which my husband says I do all the time, was to show people the possibilities. Because when we got our diagnosis 20 years ago, I didn't see anyone talking about mm-hmm. autism. There was no representation in media. And I didn't really have any hope. I just felt like, okay, well, the doctor said he'll never do this, that, and the other. So I guess that's it.
Right.
And well, that's so to be able to look up and see him, you know, oh my God, if you got teary-eyed over the introduction video on the Dodger opening day, wait till you see when they present him with the ring, which they did yesterday. I mean, I have been sobbing. I was banned from coming because they knew I was going to make a fool of myself.
That's all right. That's what moms are supposed to do. I mean, that's all right. You get a pass, I think. You know, I was going to ask you because
through
the Holly Rod Foundation, for those that don't know, you know, your family's personal experiences, through all of that, you have become one of the most trusted advocates for consistent and reliable education, outreach, and support for both Parkinson's and autism. Can you talk a little bit? I mean, you mentioned it before. I mean, when RJ was born, I can't even imagine what that must have been like because my sons, like I said, are 7 and 8. But, you know, in the late 90s, there was no social media. Where did you turn to? And how did you create the Holly Rod Foundation? And why do you think that has become so successful? Because it really is. I mean, it's what I turn to for help, for advice, or for recommendations, or for services. I'm on your website all the time. So can you talk a little bit about how you created it and why it's become such a success?
Well, first of all, we created Holly Rod because my father had Parkinson's disease. Some of you, if you're my age or a little bit older, you will remember my dad as the original Gordon on Sesame Street.
Yep.
And he was such an iconic figure and a real television pioneer. But he got Parkinson's disease in his 40s and passed away in his 60s. So we wanted to raise funds and awareness and compassionate care for families impacted by Parkinson's. But when RJ was diagnosed with autism, of course, we expanded our mission. And it's funny you should say, you know, just the resources, because as RJ goes, Holly Rod goes. So when he was younger, you know, one of our main missions was getting tablets to young people with autism who were nonverbal or verbally challenged so that they could, you know, have ways to communicate. And then as he started to get older, we ventured more into, you know, things that he might need during his teen years. And we talked about, you know, puberty and autism and things that a lot of people weren't talking about. And then, as you know, now that he's older, we're now really involved in a great program called Delivering Jobs. I encourage people to check it out, deliveringjobs.org. It's an excellent partnership mm-hmm. that Holly Rod has with some other great organizations. And its mission is getting jobs to these young people on the spectrum because they can not only be a good employee, they can be your best employee,
right?
As evidenced by, you know, what RJ's been able to do with the Dodgers. We took a chance on him. And I want every kid to have that opportunity, every young adult to have that opportunity. But Holly Rod has been a real blessing to us to be able to help other people. And it's been very cathartic during the times where things have been sort of difficult for us to be able to reach out to others. And the people like you and the community that I've met have really gotten me through some tough times. And so I'm really glad that we're able to still be here and support these families.
No, it, I mean, it definitely helps. And I, that's what I always go back to. I think about what did families that, that didn't have the Holly Rod Foundation. I mean, what did people do before that? So I think we are each other's best friend in all of this. I mean, I do my best. I'm no expert by any means, but any parent that's got a child that's only 2 and 3 years old, I try my best, you know, where I live to help them out and give them advice and share anything that I know, but we definitely need to help each other. And I you mentioned the Delivering Jobs campaign. And when I was watching the video of RJ, I kept thinking, this was my, one of my biggest fears for my two sons, you know, as they get older, what do I do next? How do I get them involved in possible employment opportunities? So can you talk a little bit more in detail about how somebody maybe listening could get involved in the Delivering Jobs campaign and what exactly their mission is?
Yes, when you go to deliveringjobs.org, the program really, it helps walk employers through how to hire young folks on the spectrum and with other issues. And it also talks about how, you know, as a mom or parent or a person with autism, how you can also ready yourself. And that's another great partnership that we have, because Holly Rod has really gotten into job training and job fairs and really supporting the initiative of work and employment, meaningful employment for these folks. And you're right. When RJ was diagnosed in 2000, we saw nothing. We saw no resources for these types of things. And today, to be looking up and seeing corporations, you know, prioritize hiring inclusively, it's just awesome. So we got to keep all of this going, and we have to keep everybody connected and resourced up, because there weren't a lot of resources back then, and it was very frustrating. But what got me through again were people like you. You reached down to some of these younger people that are getting diagnosed, newly diagnosed, and some people reached down to me. So I really appreciate that. That's the message, I think, a great takeaway from this conversation, is that you can really help another family by just maybe asking them what they need or just being there to talk to them.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, April, of course, being Autism Awareness Month, is personal for me, as I know it is for you. And every year, Stella and Dot Jewelry selects a number of pieces that they represent in a shop for a cause. And the proceeds benefit the Holly Rod Foundation's mission to help families that are affected by an autism diagnosis. And every year, I always share the link on my Facebook and Instagram. My family and friends always buy everything that they can to help support your foundation. I'm curious, how did the pandemic affect, you know, fundraising efforts or events like that? Did you see an increase or a decline in people's ability to shop or to maybe donate? I mean, how did the pandemic, if at all, affect, you know, your foundation and how you raise money to keep the mission going?
The pandemic was quite devastating to a lot of nonprofits, but definitely for Holly Rod, because we do so much in-person fundraising and in-person services and programs. It really was difficult to reach out to our families. I mean, we did connect with them virtually, but that's different, and it's hard, you know, having a child, it can be hard, I should say, having a child at home, doing all homeschooling and then therapies as well online. It was really challenging overall, I think, for most of the people that I know in the autism community, but fundraising was especially challenging. We had to be very creative, and we were so thankful to so many of our organizations like Stella and Dot, who have raised over $800,000 for Holly Rod over the years, like Cigna and other organizations that are super compassionate and really understood what nonprofits were going through. But it was difficult, and we can't wait to get our kids, our young people back into these training programs and get these job fairs going and get these kids employed and get back up and running at RJ's place here in Los Angeles. It's been a blessing to be able to do this work. But yes, I cannot wait for us to be back going so that we can, you know, really get these programs moving again and help the people that we serve.
How did RJ do with the pandemic? I know that he's a lot older than my sons, but was he good with mask wearing, staying 6 feet apart? I'm always curious to know how other families deal with that. I know for my kids in the beginning, it was hard to explain, you know, you can't run up and hug everyone, and explaining what's happening and why it's happening was hard for my kids. So I'm wondering, how did RJ deal with all of the changes?
Yeah, it was difficult for him. He doesn't like wearing masks. He doesn't like things on his face. Mm-hmm. And I fortunately am able to explain that to him, that he has to, and he's able to process that. But so many families I've talked to, really, that was a big issue, being out in public and, you know, or, you know, just wanting to get out and having to wear the mask. It was really difficult. But RJ was stressed out over the pandemic because he wasn't able to get back to work. So he lost his job temporarily, and that was extra hard for him. He thrives on routine. And so not getting to go to Dodger Stadium, getting to be around the guys, that has been such an unbelievable source of community and acceptance, right. and not having that all of a sudden really threw him off. So his mental health did definitely suffer over the last year, and I'm just so happy to see him back and in his element again, and things starting to get back to normal. But you know, for our kids, it can be really difficult for them to follow protocols and understand social distancing, and that's something that I think is important for other people to be aware of. Right. And when you, if you encounter a family or someone with autism and they, you know, do get in your space, or, you know, just have some compassion and understand that we're doing the best we can as parents.
If you're just waking up and tuning in, you're listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. And we've been talking with actress, author, talk show host, activist, and philanthropist, Holly Robinson Peete. Holly has been touched by the entertainment industry almost all of her life, with her first experience in front of the camera at age 4, when she appeared on TV opposite her father, Matthew Robinson, who you may not know, but served as a producer and was the original Gordon on Sesame Street. Her career as an actress dates back more than 3 decades and has led her to becoming a voice for her father, her son, and her community. In 1997, she and her husband, former NFL quarterback Rodney Peete, formed the Holly Rod Foundation, inspired by her father's battle with Parkinson's disease. And then in 2005, inspired by her son's autism diagnosis, the Holly Rod Foundation expanded to provide support and resources to those families affected by an autism diagnosis. Holly has starred on so many TV series, including 21 Jump Street, Hanging with Mr. Cooper, For Your Love, Chicago Fire, Mike and Molly, among so many others. She's currently starring in Hallmark's Morning Show Mysteries franchise. Let's get back to our conversation. Let's get into TV now, because your career has spanned 3 decades. I mean, I have watched you on everything. I grew up in the 90s. I watched TGI Fridays, Hanging with Mr. Cooper. I watched you in 21 Jump Street. But I need to ask, like, the Hallmark Channel, I mean, you're starring in Hallmark's Morning Show Mystery Series franchise. I think it's the 6th installment, if I'm correct. Is that right? Is it the 6th
right
installment?
Yes.
What is the deal with Hallmark? I mean, they suck me in 8 hours later. I've done nothing all day. Laundry's piled up. All I'm doing is watching you on the Hallmark channels. I mean, that's got to be a great experience. And we have to mention the Morning Show Mysteries. It's called Murder Ever After. That's the newest one. And it's premiering Sunday, May 23rd on the Hallmark Movies and Mysteries channel. Talk about what that's been like working on these. And I know that Al Roker is the executive producer of this, is that correct?
Yeah, he's executive producer, and the Morning Show Mysteries were based on his novels, Morning Show Murder. So he really, you know, brought this project to me, and I was already starting to work with Hallmark Channel for doing Christmas movies and other projects. And then we ended up doing Meet the Peets on Hallmark Channel as well, our family reality show. And, you know, they really embraced the autism advocacy that we were doing. But it's been great working for Hallmark Channel. And as you said, yes, I've been working many, many decades in this business, and it's awesome to be able to have this kind of work right now at my age, to be able to, you know, do a series and do a movie series. And, you know, and we just pitched, you'll be happy to hear this, we just pitched and sold a Christmas movie that has an autism theme, which is something the network hasn't done yet. So can't wait to work on that. I'll probably get working on that early fall, and I'll have more, and I'll have to come back on and tell you all about it.
Oh, I absolutely. You're welcome anytime. That's for sure. You know, I wanted to ask you about something, you know, on one of your shows, you know, you've been on numerous TV shows, but I really loved how you talked about your work on the show For Your Love. You said on your website that you enjoyed doing the show because, quote, it discussed race in a positive way. And you went on to say, it's a dream show. I only wished more network programmers would give us more shows like this. It was a multi-ethnic romantic comedy with humor that can appeal to everyone, celebrating the things we have in common instead of highlighting our differences as so many other shows do. And I love that statement. I love that your attitude is always positive. Why do you think there aren't more positive shows like that? And how do we get to a point, you know, in your opinion, where we can all just meet in the middle and recognize the great things that we have in common with each other?
I'm not sure when I wrote that and when I said that, but I definitely think that, and I meant it when I said it for sure. And I loved For Your Love. It was such a, it was such a great show. So well written and amazing. Yep. One of my favorite shows. But you have a lot of good shows on right now. The Neighborhood, Bob Loves, Bob Hart, Abby Shola. I mean, there's some pretty good shows on that are on now that are sitcoms, that are comedies that, you know, are written well and handling a lot of and talking about tough topics in a humorous way that everybody can hear it. So I think television is doing better now. So I'm really impressed with some of the shows that are out there. I think we could continue to do that more and more. I would like to see that in the reality genre, though. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the reasons why we wanted to do Meet the Peets and For Pete's Sake, which we did on the OWN Network, because I want to see, you know, families, everyday life, real families doing things that I think that will help so much to heal this nation and really bridge the divide. But I'm really happy with what I'm seeing lately, and we definitely need more.
I know we only have about a minute left, and I just wanted to ask you, I didn't realize that your mom, Dolores, began her career as a teacher, and then she was a major player in the talent agency business, and that one of her first clients was LeVar Burton, which is so cool to me. And how influential was your mom's career on you as a young woman, and seeing her in such a fierce job, which was mostly dominated by white men, what did that mean to you, and what advice would you have for other women coming up in the business?
Oh, my mom, just a glass ceiling destroyer. Mm-hmm. I mean, yep. She moved us here. She moved us into Los Angeles in 1974 with like dollar and a nickel in her pocket and created a whole industry of being a manager. And LeVar was her first client. He was like a big brother to me, still is. And she went on to do so many amazing things. And so, yes, she inspired me so much. I have been begging her to write a book. She has such amazing stories to tell. So I think she's finally doing that. And I'm, you know, so lucky to have had a role model like her to encourage me and just show me that anything is possible. And so she's just a phenomenal lady. She just turned 85 and you know, she thinks she's 45. So
I love it.
We're going to let her think that.
I love it. Well, Holly, I know we're out of time. I appreciate everything that you do, all of the work that you do to support autism awareness. It's so personal for me. And I know for so many families listening here in the Boston area, I love you. I have loved you for so long. It is such an honor to have you on Exceptional Women. You really are exceptional. And thank you for all the work you do and continued success with all of it.
Thank you for being such a great advocate and an awesome mom. And this is an awesome interview. And I just really appreciate talking to you.
Anytime. And when we can be back together in person, I am dying to meet you in person. So someday, hopefully soon.
That's a date.
Thank you to Holly Robinson-Peete for being in the spotlight today on Exceptional Women. We talked to celebrities and CEOs, but we're also interested in talking with your neighbors, coworkers, and friends who are quietly making an impact in their communities. Go to magic1067.com and email us if you know someone you'd like to recommend to be featured on our program. And you can follow us on Instagram at sue.tab. and at Kendra the Entertainer. We love hearing from you, and be sure to join us every Sunday morning for another edition of Exceptional Women. Have a great day, everyone.